This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Here we go. It's our number four of the G-Bag Nation here on 105 Through the Fan. We're going all the way until 7 o'clock tonight. And if you're just getting off, it's a great opportunity to join us right now. We're live at Moxie's. It's restaurant week. Downtown Dallas. Just put Moxie's Dallas in the GPS, and you can join us. Free G-Bag Nation etched Stella Artois glasses. You know the amazing Stella Artois beer glass? It's a chalice. It looks medieval. It looks awesome. And you can have one for free if you just join us here at DFW Restaurant Week at Moxie's. Yes, the Stella hats as well.
Sweet hats.
Okay. And number nine, did you all right, Brian?
We're getting ready to do number nine right now.
Okay. Yes.
Tim's going to carry this one for us. Matt Stans, I love you, Tim, but this will be a Gavin Dawson interview.
This is
number nine.
A hot sauce challenge that I think Woolchuck and Broadus are basically going shot for shot for.
Oh, my God. That was the word.
Tim Cato of the Athletic.
That's rough.
Joins you now here on 105.3 The Fan. And Tim, good afternoon. How the heck are you, buddy?
What's up, boys? Sorry, Tim. Couldn't sneak out there, but it sounds like you guys are enjoying yourself plenty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a fantastic little spot down here, so we're happy to be hanging out. And I look forward to the next time we can hang out with you in person, Tim, but it's great to have you on the phone. And I know all Mavs fans are wondering right now, how much better are the Mavs than when the finals ended?
I think their ceiling is higher, and I think that there are, good questions, curiosities that we're going to find out about this team in the regular season. I don't want to gloss over the loss of Derrick Jones Jr. Makes the team different, but I think we saw very clearly in the finals, you know, Dallas needed shooting, and they needed more depth, and it is impossible to look at this new-look roster and not see that it's deeper and it has shooters. It has one of the best shooters to ever, play this sport. And so, yeah, I think this team's ceiling is higher. I think there's a chance that, a good chance, that this is all going to come together and work really well, and that this is going to be a improved version of a team that just went to the finals last year. And that's obviously a great spot for Dallas to be in.
Were they able to get better shooting without losing the defense that Derrick Jones Jr. provided with all the moves together?
It's going to look different. I mean, the thing that I think we were all so impressed by Derrick Jones Jr. And, as the regular season went on, I didn't realize he was that good. I knew he was good. He's someone who I had on my all defense short list, so. Not a top 10 defender in the NBA, but I thought he had a legitimate case to be a top 20 guy, a top 10 wing defender, perimeter defender, and it's that's what you lose. You can only put so much, they have replaced him with good defenders, but they haven't replaced him with great defenders. And I do think that absence is going to be felt a little bit. I do think that, you know, how the team closes games, you know, which players are able to step up and, you know, be the defenders for players like, let's say, Tyrese Maxey and, you know, and Ja Morant. You know, I think that's something that we need to see in the regular season, whether it's, you know, Najee Marshall, whether it's Quentin Grimes, whether Kyrie is going to be able to, you know, step up to that challenge throughout the regular season, something that Jones, you know, handled real capably, those type players last season. But, yeah, they have options. They absolutely have options and depth and ways to manage this. It's just a matter of how they go about doing it.
So, Tim, I want to ask you about Najee Marshall and how long he was possibly on the Mavericks' radar, because we were pretty impressed with the pivot of Derrick Jones Jr. It seemed like he was ready to rock with Najee Marshall for Nico and company. What do you think Najee's bringing to the table for Maverick fans that aren't as familiar with his game, but how long maybe the Mavericks are kind of monitoring his situation?
Yeah, I mean, his nickname is the Knife, which is just one of the coolest nicknames, I think, in the entire NBA. I heard early in the postseason, I remember, you know, hearing before one of the Oklahoma City games, it was probably game two, you know, that he was somebody on their radar. You know, I heard in that same breath Isaac Okoro as somebody else they were looking at. But Najee is probably the most, you know, competent offensive player of those three, and certainly a really solid defender of those three, being Najee, Jones and Okoro. And, you know, if you know, there's you know, Najee's coming off his best shooting season. He takes a slightly bigger volume. He's a confident guy who's going to take those shots when they come available. He's a, you know, the reason he's called the knife is, you know, somebody's like, is he a Swiss Army knife? They're asking Willie Green, the Pelicans coach, and he's like, no, he's just a knife, you know. But they used him in this way where he just solved problems for them. And, you know, when they needed, you know, somebody like that off the bench to go guard the best player on the team, to, you know, just muck things up in transition, you know, to hit some shots, some open shots, that's what he's been able to provide throughout his career down in New Orleans. He's a young guy, too. You know, he's not old. And so, you know, I think that Dallas fans are really going to like getting to know this player when he's on the court next season, because he's fun and he's productive, and I think it's a great fit for Dallas.
Hey Tim, I was going to ask you, with the, you know, they go out and they get Klay Thompson, and do you have a timeline of when he really became part of being on the Mavs' radar as a guy like, hey, listen, was this something that maybe they, knowing that he was going to be a free agent, that they talked about during the year, or was this something after the season, after they went through the run, that they knew they had to go get a guy like that?
I put it this way. My impression is that, you know, the playoffs made it very clear to the front office that this team needed to retool with more shooters. That's right. What they had, and it really showed against Boston that, you know, there was just not enough players who, you know, could step up and hit those, you know, open looks, you know, semi-open looks, and sometimes even the open looks, especially above the break. You know, when you're playing a team like Boston, you know, one thing that they did throughout that series is they made sure not to allow those corner threes, you know, the ones that the role players were most comfortable with. So when Klay comes on their radar, I don't think, you know, I don't know how much he was on their radar just because he wasn't available for a while. Like Klay's intentions were very clearly to go back to Golden State. And as that process drug on, and you know, my colleagues at The Athletic have done a lot of reporting about this, Sam Amick and Anthony Slater, you know, he got to the point where he was telling the Warriors, like, here is my offer. You know, like, here's what, you know, here's an offer coming from me that, you know, was a discount offer, something for like $20 million a year for just a couple of years. And they were like, you know, the Warriors told him, hey, we can't even negotiate with you right now because we're trying to get other stuff done. And that sense of, you know, Klay feeling he wasn't wanted is what finally made him, you know, open and available to, you know, to go explore the market. And that's when, you know, as soon as Dallas realized that, of course they were interested, because, you know, it kind of accomplished that number one saying on their checklist that they wanted to improve this summer. So, you know, I can't tell you for sure, you know, whether, you know, this was something that, you know, I'm sure it's something they were monitoring for quite a while. It's been known for quite a while that this situation could have gone this way for Clay and Golden State. But I think, you know, the first thing that had to happen was Clay had to really become resigned to the fact that he wasn't going back to Golden State. And from there, you know, it was a pretty clean, clear path for Dallas to convince him. And you know, and I think Clay has, you know, there's been reporting as well that this was his preferred option once he made that decision, that realization that Golden State, you know, that he wasn't going to go back there.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40... it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Tim Cato in The Athletic. It is difficult, I guess, to digest from the outside looking in after so many times where the player picks the Lakers that he in particular would pick Mavs over Lakers. Did that surprise you at all?
I think that, you know, one thing, and this was also from an Athletic article from Tim Kamakawi, but you know, our guy, one of our guys up in the Bay Area, he wrote about how Clay just didn't enjoy his last season with the Warriors. And one of the things was, you know, the scrutiny of his bad games and, you know, the comparisons to the player he once was and that he no longer is. And that's something inevitable when, you know, when you're Clay Thompson and you're playing for that team where, you know, he was a tier one superstar. And what I think is a huge credit to Dallas is that they have built up this environment, this atmosphere, this organizational culture, that players feel great about coming here, and they understand. Like, just look at Kyrie Irving, who, you know, like his reputation around the league, his image is completely different than it was when he arrived here. And Kyrie was somebody who talked to Clay, throughout this process. And so I think it's a huge credit. You know, obviously that isn't, you know, every free agent is going to have different goals and different things that they're coming into their, you know, into a negotiation or a decision to choose a team. But Dallas has built up something that's very different and I think was very appealing to Clay Thompson. And that's absolutely a testament. It's not what the organization was before Jason Kidd and Nico Harrison joined a few years ago. It's something very new and very impressive about this, you know, about these Dallas Mavericks, that they are fundamentally a bit different than the organization that we have been accustomed to watching kind of over the past couple decades.
Talking with our guy Tim Cato of The Athletic here in the G-Bag Nation. So when it comes to the remainder of the offseason now, is there still a move left for the Mavericks to make? We've kind of heard maybe a reunion with Dennis Smith Jr. Is that a possibility?
I don't know how much minutes would realistically be available for a guard like him. You know, or Spencer Dinwiddie is another name that's been thrown around. I think, you know, Dallas has a roster spot, and you know, certainly they have a lot of ideas about how they may use it. You know, maybe it's a situation that, you know, there's not a lot of urgency with it. But so it may be some time, or it could be quicker. You know, but it's not something that, you know, necessarily has to happen this second. You know, certainly I know Dallas is, you know, considering a lot of options and you know, a lot of players who are still on the open market are, you know, kind of considering how they would fit here. I think if they get a backup guard, there's absolutely value to that. It's just a question of, you know, if it's a backup guard, you know, there's about, you know, five or six players who are about, you know, 6'5" or under. You know, it's kind of more of an emergency role for, you know, when Luka and or Kyrie miss time in the regular season. That would be a really valuable thing for Dallas to have. I just don't know how appealing of a pitch that is to a player like Dennis Smith Jr., who should be a rotation player. And so if they can promise him a bit more of a role, you know, it doesn't seem, you know, to, you know, and certainly when we're talking about those Ja Morants and those, you know, Tyrese Maxeys, you know, Dennis Smith is a great defender. You know, maybe there is more of a role just because they need a guard defender. But yeah, as I see the roster right now, I think that, you know, a lot of what Dallas is doing is just pitching people on, okay, this is the role you're actually going to play. And then free agents have to kind of decide, okay, you know, are they willing to accept that? Do they bet on themselves to carve out something that, you know, may be a little bit bigger than perhaps would pitch to them right now?
All right, Tim, here's my question. It's probably going to have you scratching your head. When we watch summer league basketball, is there any of these DNPs during the season that you're keeping an eye on of like, okay, I'm going to see where this guy is at going into camp? Is there anybody kind of got your eye on that you're looking at that maybe can make that jump that they probably need?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's Omax Prosper for me. You know, okay. Olivier Maxence Prosper is the guy who, you know, really played well in the G League, really impressed me. You know, he was taking, you know, a good number of threes at like about a 40% clip. He is a tall wing. You know, he's 6'8". You know, he's a big dude, and that is so valuable in the NBA. And he is not the same player as Maxey. You know, but they're, you know, in terms of size and what position they play, there's a little bit of overlap there. And you know, I think Maxey, you know, despite, you know, I know the Mavs fan base is a bit down on him. I get it. He's 32. He's aging. You know, declining a bit. I do think he has a role to play on this team next season. But it's very clear that, you know, Dallas has to be thinking about, you know, a replacement plan. You know, somebody who's going to step in at some point. You know, maybe as soon as this season, but certainly in the ones to come. That's going to be a player who can kind of do what Maxey does, because I think he's been really valuable to the team. And if Omax can show that, if he can carve out a rotation role, I'm just very, very intrigued with how that goes. And I do think it's possible that, you know, he at least is a sometimes rotation player for this team next season. Very curious to see how he plays the summer league.
It's Tim Cato in The Athletic. As far as, you know, long term, what's their next opportunity to get better? Is that the deadline, and what kind of assets do they now hold after the moves that they made?
Yeah, they have, going off the top of my head, I believe they have, two first-round picks. You know, they didn't give up any first-round picks to make any of these moves, which I thought was, you know, really good work by the front office. And then they have, you know, the players that are on the roster. And, you know, I think that, you know, the biggest path to improvement is what Dallas has already done this summer. And I think that, you know, it's going to come in the regular season to see how this gels. But, you know, we've also seen that Nico Harrison in this front office is very bold, that they are not scared to make changes. So if there is, you know, some opportunity to go get a, you know, like a big scoring, you know, wing, 3-and-D wing, You know, that's probably, you know, the big target Dallas would be looking for. And I wouldn't rule it out. You know, I think this team at this point, you know, this front office, they want to see how this team looks on the court. And you know, they might feel confident that, you know, any move they would consider at the deadline is just something around the edges. But, you know, if there's one target that makes sense, it's that kind of archetype of a player, that style of player. And they still got a little bit left that they could go try to make a swing if just the right opportunity presents itself.
You know, one of the top GMs are starting to get recognized with this. What are folks saying around what Nico's been able to do the last, I don't know, 24 months or so?
I think people are really impressed with him. You know, I think that you can't look at this team and see how they've, you know, rebounded so quickly from, you know, from the loss of Jalen Brunson, which, you know, we don't need to go back and relitigate that, but it was a big loss. You know, it's tough to lose a player like that for nothing in return. And, you know, they had to, you know, act quickly and decisively and take some risks to, you know, kind of rebuild this roster. And, you know, it's a young roster too, you know, outside of Kyrie Irving, you know, all these players are like 20, you know, 27 or 26 or younger, you know, Luka obviously is still 25. And so, yeah, I think that he has absolutely, you know, obviously earned a contract extension during the run to the finals. And, you know, I think there's a lot of people really impressed with the work he was able to do, you know, rebuilding this team, especially, you know, and it took some luck, you know, like the season, you know, and the draft pick that got them Derek Lively, you know, but that's always going to be the case in the NBA. Certainly Nico Harrison deserves, you know, a lot of credit and laurels for everything that he's been able to do over the past, you know, 12 plus months.
You're the man, Tim. Is there anything else about this basketball team to tell us about before we let you go?
I think that's about it. I think they're in a good place, man. So, you know, I'm excited to watch them next season.
Enjoy your summer, sir. Oh, Brian.
Hey, Tim, real quick. Is the coaching staff going to stay intact?
I think that's still an open question. That is a good question.
Okay, sorry about that. I got it to you late. My bad.
Oh, no. You're fine. You're fine. It's a very good question. But I think that, you know, we're still in a situation where there's some, you know, you got to get the actual roster moves out of the way. And now,
gotcha.
You know, now teams are looking a little bit more seriously at all the assistant coaches and the carousel that could happen.
Our guy, Tim Cato, thank you so much, sir. Have a great summer. We'll chat with you soon.
Absolutely. You guys too.
If anything happens with the Mavs, Tim's going to write about it, and he's going to have some great insights. And he's been so generous with his time joining us here in the GBAC Nation. We salute him. Okay, it's time to hit the expressway. What we learned from CY in light of today's report about the Rangers' plans for the trade deadline, everything else that's been developing throughout your broadcast day is coming up next here. It's the GBAC Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.